top of the second hour today, this Friday, December 9th, 2016. And we're talking about summarily the concept of radical Islam, the imaginary boogeyman created, manufactured by the CIA, essentially to support and justify or legitimize the Wolfowitz doctrine. And you heard Wesley Clark in his October 3rd, 2007 elaboration of his March 3rd, 2007 Democracy Now! Intimation about 7 countries in 5 years, those old Soviet client regimes. So you heard him clarify in the first hour about those 7 countries in 5 years, but people don't understand what was going on there was nation building a la the Wolfowitz doctrine. So here is a smoking gun, so to speak. You know, here is General Wesley Clark, a 4-star general, saying, this is a smoking gun. 20 years before September 11th, Paul Wolfowitz is saying, hey, the Soviet Union collapsed. We have about 5 to 10 years to clean up these old Soviet client regimes. 7 countries in 5 years. You know, we fast forward to the post-9/11 era. Enter again Wolfowitz, Rumsfeld, Cheney, and the other PNAC co-conspirators. And we have the Wolfowitz doctrine again in full effect in cleaning up these old Soviet client regimes some 20 years later, 25. And let's not forget, by the way, that when it comes to Iran, people will say, well, we haven't done that yet. Nah, go back to the 2006 appearance of retired Air Force Colonel Sam Gardner on this Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer. We've played that clip several times of Wolf Blitzer asking Sam Gardner, who had just published a paper shortly prior to that interview over at the Century Foundation. And I forget the exact title of the document. But Sam Gardner has just published a paper on this discussion, something to the effect of, considering the U.S. military option for Iran was the title of the paper. And Wolf Blitzer asked him, what was Wolf Blitzer said, you speak to a lot of people plugged in. What's your bottom line? How close, in your opinion, is the U.S., the Bush administration, to giving the go-ahead order? And Gardner's immediate response was, it's been given. In fact, we have probably been executing military operations inside Iran for at least 18 months. The evidence is overwhelming. That's exactly what he said. And then Wolf Blitzer kept trying to eschew those claims and downplay them. But again, this is Sam Gardner, the guy who has taught, retired Air Force colonel, taught at several of the war colleges, and had just written a paper on the subject, was very well connected, and was saying we'd probably already been conducting military operations inside Iran for at least 18 months. And that was back in September of 2006, I believe. Memory serves. Yeah. September 18, 2006. So let's not forget about that either. When the subject of cleaning up these old Soviet client regimes comes to mind, it's the Wolfowitz doctrine. In my opinion, Paul Wolfowitz is every bit as much a war criminal as Henry Kissinger or anyone else, with these kinds of shocking intimations coming to light. Anyway, we need to move on. So we have this imaginary boogeyman. And it's just as simple as Gary Webb put it in that appearance on C-SPAN's Washington Journal back in 1998 when he mentioned Jonathan Quitney's book, Endless Enemies. And by the way, if you're going to get a copy, and I recommend that you do, get the first printing, because if you'll recall, the Rockefeller family had a judge act as editor, get a first edition hard copy because after that, the Rockefeller family had a judge act as editor, and the most damning information in the book was obviously removed to protect the family name. But it's just that simple. But according to Sarah Sewell in the C-SPAN clip that we played, her July 31st, I said August 1st, July 31st, I believe, CSIS speech, that was aired, that was televised on C-SPAN. She said it's, you know, our analysis cannot stop there because the story is far more complex. And here is the problem. We are not defining terms. So, as another four-star general, and it's interesting, the appearance that I mentioned of General Wesley Clark on the Kelly file, that particular appearance was in response to – it was General Wesley Clark's – Megyn Kelly was asking him to respond to General John Keane's remarks the day of his congressional testimony at the time last year. And speaking of John Keane and his congressional testimony, he said in one of his appearances – the current U.S. administration fails to define radical Islam or explain it nor understand it. How can we possibly defeat radical Islam if we don't understand it? Knowing the kind of war you're fighting is the first priority of a national or military leader. Given this purposeful misunderstanding or self-deception at best by not acknowledging this narrowly focused well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we just give that to you in his words? I'll let him speak for himself. This is John Keane on the nature of radical Islam. If you're ready with that, go ahead, please.
The Middle East has experienced one of the most tumultuous periods in its history, with the old order challenged by the aspirational goals of the Arab Spring. Radicalized Islamists taking advantage of the political and social upheaval, and the Islamic State of Iran using proxies to achieve regional influence and control. Some issues in the Middle East have been simmering for some time, and uncertainty are underlying factors, such as historical sectarianism, repressive regimes, political and social injustice, and the lack of economic opportunity, exacerbated now by the price of oil. One cannot simply blame these larger forces operating in the region and absolve the United States of specific policy decisions that has had unintended adverse consequences. Let's just go name a few. Egypt. In 2010, the Arab Spring begins, and in looking back, while most Arab countries were in some form of pre-revolutionary phase, it was a strategic surprise. The United States, in the face of major civil unrest in Cairo, abandons Mubarak, a multi-decade ally of the United States and an ally of the Arab states in the region. The result is the Muslim Brotherhood, who are elected, move quickly without any U.S. opposition to transition Egypt, a secularist state, to an Islamic state. Iran supports the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood, as we know, quickly lose support of the people and are deposed in a military coup. Libya. In 2011, after Gaddafi is deposed and killed, a newly elected moderate Islamic regime requests support to train a national security force to repress the radical militants. The United States refuses. Some of the same militants, Ansar al-Sharia, burned down the U.S. consulate, killed the ambassador and three others, forced the evacuation of a covert CIA base, and the following year force a U.S. retreat from Libya with the closing of the U.S. embassy. Libya is now a failed state, a breeding ground for radical Islamists, and the largest ISIS presence outside of Syria and Iraq. Iraq. Whether the 2003 invasion was misguided or righteous, It ushered in the first Arab democracy in the Middle East, while also giving rise to al-Qaeda in Iraq, who was defeated in 2008. In 2009, the new U.S. administration began to distance itself politically from Iraq, providing the entree for greater Iranian influence and culminating in a total military pullout from Iraq in 2010. Prime Minister Maliki immediately begins a purge of political opponents and military leaders, and al-Qaeda reemerges that same year. Syria. Syria's civil war, growing out of the Arab Spring in 2011, is stalemated because the rebels' initial gains are thwarted by Iranian proxies, the Hezbollah and Iraqi Shia militias, plus the Quds Force, and much-needed supplies and equipment from Russia and Iran. The rebels in 2011 and 2012 seek assistance from the United States, which is recommended by Secretaries Clinton and Panetta, General Dempsey, and Director Petraeus. The United States refuses. Al-Qaeda in Iraq is incentivized by the protracted civil war in Syria, moves out of Iraq with several hundred Iraqi fighters, establishing a sanctuary in northeastern Syria, and grows a terrorist army of some 30 to 40,000. This strategic decision that Baghdadi made is transformational for him. It was the most critical decision he has made since he's been the leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq and now ISIS and the Islamic State. 2 years later, ISIS invades Iraq and expands its territory in Syria. ISIS, as we know it today, would not exist without the opportunity that Syria provided. In 2013, the chemical weapons red line is crossed. The United States does not respond as promised. Arab allies are dismayed and disillusioned. Assad continues to conduct, as we all are painfully aware, a comprehensive depopulation campaign, killing 250,000 civilians, displacing 11 million people, four of them outside the region, resulting in thousands of Syrians joining tidal waves of others in the region to migrate to Europe. In Yemen, Iranian-backed Houthis in 2014 forced the U.S.-backed Yemen government to topple, and the much-touted U.S. counterterrorism operation is in full retreat with the closing of U.S. military operations and the United States Embassy in Yemen. This is an extraordinary chronology of events where U.S. policy, while not necessarily the primary cause of these disturbing events, was at least a factor in further destabilizing the Middle East and losing the confidence and trust of our allies in the region, so much so that Russia is seeking to replace the United States as the most influential out-of-region nation. And many of our allies are listening. However, the most critical policy failures are essentially strategic and therefore have the most profound impact. Simply stated, they are the United States and allies' strategic failure to organize, plan, and defeat radical Islam and to successfully counter Iranian regional hegemony. As to radical Islam, 23 years after the first World Trade Center bombing and 14-plus years after 9/11, we still have no comprehensive strategy to defeat radical Islam. Radical Islam is morphing into a global jihad with the expansion of al-Qaeda and the extraordinary success of ISIS, which has rapidly become the most successful terrorist organization in history, still growing at 1.5 to 2,000 per month and expanding into affiliate organizations throughout the Middle East, Africa, South and Southeast Asia, and developing a worldwide following where believers are willing to kill their fellow citizens, foment terror and unrest, and polarize the population between Muslim and non-Muslims. See the map provided by the Institute for the Study of War, which depicts ISIS's desire to expand into affiliates in the near abroad in orange and the far abroad in yellow, with the number of current affiliates as represented by the black stars and affiliates that are in process of approval in blue stars. Most of the far abroad will not have affiliates, but rather radicalized followers who are inspired by ISIS to act, either as individuals or small cells. The United States' strategic failure derives from not understanding the nature of the conflict. The Bush War on Terror and the Obama Counterterrorism War are simply tactics. The battle is within Islam itself. Where in the Arab world, this battle is intersecting with authoritarian regimes and family monarchies' failure to politically reform and to adjust to the needs of their societies. Therefore, we are fighting a political and religious ideology which draws its origin from the very strict interpretation of the Quran and Hadith, as well as the intolerance of Wahhabism and Salafism. Political leaders such as al-Sisi and King Abdullah have referred to it as a religious revolution. Yet the current U.S. administration fails to define radical Islam or explain it, nor understand it. How can we possibly defeat radical Islam if we don't understand it? Knowing the kind of war you are fighting is the first priority of a national or military leader. Given this purposeful misunderstanding, or self-deception at best, by not acknowledging this narrowly focused Islamic ideology, it creates an unnecessary condition where all Muslims are brought under suspicion. Law-abiding, faith-based, traditional, or modern Muslims who would do no harm to the fellow man and resent any association with radical Islam deserve better treatment than that. This is a 21st generational ideological struggle.
There you go.
Similar to the 20th century multi-generational struggle with communist ideology. The 9/11 Commission recommended a global alliance to design a strategy and to work together to defeat radical Islam. King Salman of Saudi Arabia is organizing a 34-member alliance to combat radical Islam, and it remains to be seen if it amounts to anything substantive. I do know it begs for the United States to play a leadership role. The next president of the United States will likely defeat ISIS in Iraq and Syria, having provided the required resources and leadership necessary to do the job. But ISIS and radical Islam is a global movement. It is not a question of whether we want to combat radical Islam. It's unavoidable. The only question is how.
So there you go. The only question is how. John Keane's retired four-star general John Keane's rhetorical question of how is perhaps effectively answered in Jonathan Quitney's book, even the title, Endless Enemies. But even if not, brilliant, articulate, well-informed minds like Robin Cook have effectively answered the question of how. And, you know, in Robin Cook's piece at The Guardian the day after the London 7/7 bombings titled "The Struggle Against Terrorism Cannot Be Won by Military Means," the piece that I believe got him killed, less than a month after his article was published, he was dead. One of those, you know, died of a massive heart attack, not suicided, but died of a massive heart attack. But in that article, I think he said it all. Is it complicated? Yes, but it is just this simple. Osama bin Laden is no more a true representative of Islam than General Mladic, who commanded the Serbian forces, could be held up as an example of Christianity. After all, it is written in the Quran that we were made into different peoples, not that we might despise each other, but that we might understand each other. And, you know, for those who argue it's just those Muslims, Google or search, pick your favorite search engine, search Muslims protect Christians. You will see some of the stories that we've mentioned recently of Muslims protecting Christians even to death around the world in places like Somalia, for example. And so it's not just that simple, and we need to avoid being propagandized and manipulated by the Fox Newses of the world. Stick around. I'll be right back after this short break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Welcome back. So you heard some great information in retired general, four-star general, John Keane's congressional testimony there. And as far as how is concerned, you know, very provocative quote, you know. I mean, think about it. As to radical Islam, 23 years after the first World Trade Center bombing, 14 plus years after 9/11, we still have no comprehensive strategy to defeat radical Islam. We don't even define terms. As he said, the current U.S. administration fails to define radical Islam. How ironic. You know, Barack Obama has called for, you know, he has obviously been a sympathizer, an apologist for Orthodox Islam, you might say. But as General Keane pointed out, the current administration and, you know, prior administrations obviously failed to define radical Islam or explain it or understand it. How can we possibly defeat an enemy if we don't understand it? As he said, knowing the kind of war that you're fighting is the first priority of a national or a military leader. And as he said, given this purposeful misunderstanding or self-deception at best, by not acknowledging this narrowly focused Islamic ideology, it creates an unnecessary condition where all Muslims are brought under suspicion. Law-abiding, faith-based, traditional, or modern Muslims, as he said, who would do no harm to their fellow man and resent any association with radical Islam deserve better treatment than that. He's absolutely right. And do we see how that just further foments a contrived conflict? Anyway, I want to give you further support of that. Jeremy Scahill, remember his Democracy Now! Appearance back in 2014? He has been reporting on the ground over in that region since 2003 and has done extensive reporting and investigative journalism over there. Here are his remarks from his Democracy Now! Appearance back in 2014 on Obama's Orwellian war. Go ahead, please.
Now.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Vice President Joe Biden said Thursday it'll take a, quote, hell of a long fight for the United States and its allies to stop the advance of militants from the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. But during the same speech, Biden admitted the Islamic State poses no existential threat to the nation's security. His comment comes as Australia becomes the latest country to join the U.S.-led fight. Prime Minister Tony Abbott said Australian planes will take part in the air campaign and that special forces would be deployed.
The Americans certainly have quite a substantial special forces component on the ground already. My understanding is that there are UK and Canadian special forces already inside Iraq. So we'll be operating on a much smaller scale, but in an entirely comparable way to the United States Special Forces.
Meanwhile, Turkey's parliament has authorized the government to order military action against the Islamic State. The mandate also allows foreign troops to launch operations from Turkey. According to the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, ISIS militants have seized more than 350 North Syrian villages in the past 16 days, displacing at least 300,000 people. To talk more about the crisis in the Middle East, we're joined by Jeremy Scahill, who first reported from inside Iraq before the 2003 U.S. invasion. He's co-founder of TheIntercept.org and author of the book Dirty Wars, The World is a Battlefield. The paperback version of the book has just been published. Welcome back to Democracy Now!, Jeremy, and congratulations on the book being published as a paperback. Talk about the war in Syria and Iraq now.
Well, you know, first of all, it's sort of like the terrorist flavor of the month that we're dealing with here. You know, first we had Al-Qaeda is this huge global threat. Then it was ISIS. And then the Khorasan group, was produced. And the thing is, almost no one in Syria had ever heard of the Khorasan group. In fact, my understanding is that it was a term that was sort of used in the U.S. intelligence community and actually isn't the name of the people that they claim to be attacking. And what the entire policy boils down to is that the Obama administration has, in a very Orwellian way, changed the definition of commonly understood terms, primarily the term imminent. They are saying that the Khorasan group represented an imminent threat to the United States. But we know from a leaked white paper that was put out in advance of John Brennan's confirmation to be the CIA director that the Justice Department actually has officially changed the definition of the word imminent. So
you are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. If you have sciatica, then you know all about the crippling pain that travels from your lower back down your leg when a spasm occurs. It's brutal. In fact, it's enough to take your breath away. Dr. Zhang's sciatica nerve cream helps relieve persistent, shooting pains associated with the sciatic nerve in the lower back and legs. This natural, homeopathic cream contains the most potent ingredients to soothe even the most excruciating pain associated with sciatica. Stop the pain now. Ask for Dr. Zhang's sciatica nerve cream at your local health food store or go online to TraskNutrition.com.
Would you like relief from muscle pain, headaches, and discomfort to sleep better, have more energy during the day, and just feel naturally amazing? Fibromalic can help. Its blend of malic acid and magnesium can provide pain relief and comfort for those who experience fibromyalgia. It helps your body absorb more oxygen, and it works quickly for a significant reduction in pain within 48 hours, all without a prescription. Ask for Fibromalic at health and vitamin shops or shop Fibromalic.com. It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman Mobile Marketing App, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up, churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank, fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns, their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down, the fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up, and long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance, he's going for speed. She's all alone, all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
Welcome back.
We're listening to Jeremy Scahill's 2014 Democracy Now! Appearance. And his intimations in that piece titled Obama's Orwellian War in Iraq, we created the very threat we claim to be fighting. So let's pick up where we left off there. If you're ready with that, go ahead, please.
threat to the United States. But we know from a leaked white paper that was put out in advance of John Brennan's confirmation to be the CIA director that the Justice Department actually has officially changed the definition of the word imminent so that it does not need to involve an immediate threat against the United States, that it could be a perception that maybe one day these individuals could possibly attempt to plot, not even carry out, a terrorist attack against the United States. That flimsy justification has been used now to expand this war from Iraq to Syria, potentially beyond. You know, the Obama administration in engaging in this policy is continuing a Bush administration outcome of the decision to invade Iraq, and that is they're empowering the very threat that they claim to be fighting. Who is ISIS? What is this group made up of? Is it just people that are radical Islamists that want to behead American journalists? No. One of the top, and this almost is never mentioned in corporate media coverage of this, one of the top military commanders of ISIS is a man named Izzat Ibrahim al-Duri al-Tikriti. Who is Izzat Ibrahim? Izzat Ibrahim is the leading Ba'athist who was on the deck of cards that the United States has not captured. He was one of Saddam Hussein's top military commanders. He was not just some ragamuffin Ba'athist. He actually was a hardcore general in the Iraqi military during the Iran-Iraq war, and he was a secular Ba'athist. Why is he fighting with ISIS? Well, when Bush decided to invade Iraq, and then he put Paul Bremer, who was a radical neocon ideologue who had cut his teeth working for Henry Kissinger, when Paul Bremer was put in charge of the occupation of Iraq, one of the first things he did was to fire 250,000 Iraqi soldiers simply because they were members of the Ba'ath Party. As one senior U.S. official at the time said, it was the day we made a quarter of a million enemies in Iraq. All of these Ba'athists have been jerked around by the United States and the Sunnis in Western Iraq, jerked around by the United States for a very long time. There was the period of the so-called surge where the U.S. actually paid Sunnis not to kill the United States, U.S. soldiers. But then the U.S. turned around and put in power a Shiite-led government under Nouri al-Maliki that effectively operated a network of death squads that systematically attacked Sunnis. So the point I'm making here is, yes, there's an element of ISIS. I don't know how dominant it is within the group that is, you know, trying to establish the caliphate. And they are beheading people. And they are imposing a very strict interpretation of Sharia law. But there are also, and I would suspect that they're best military figures, there is also a large contingent of people that are fighting the same battle that they were fighting when the United States originally invaded. The fact is there was no al-Qaeda presence in Iraq before George W. Bush made the decision to invade it, except in the Kurdish region in the north of Iraq, which was not under Saddam Hussein's control. In fact, it was under the control of U.S.-backed entities, and that was Ansar al-Islam. Saddam Hussein's forces were fighting that group. So what am I saying here? What I'm saying is that the United States, through its policies, created the very threat that it claims to be fighting now. And in continuing this policy, what President Obama is doing is embracing the very lies that made the Cheney-Bush-Iraq war possible. And in the process, he's creating yet another generation of people in the Islamic world who are going to grow up in a society where they believe that their religion is being targeted, where they believe that the United States is a gratuitous enemy. And so this is sort of an epic formula for blowback.
That is, you know, that to me is one of the most shocking intimations. If people don't get that, see, again, we're just circling right back around to Jonathan Quitney's 1984 book, Endless Enemies, aren't we? 32 years later, we're hearing the same thing. You heard a retired four-star general say, we're not being honest about what's going on here. You heard another retired four-star general say, we're not being honest about what's going on here. And so one has to wonder, again, back to General John Keane's remarks. Given this purposeful misunderstanding or self-deception at best by not acknowledging this narrowly focused Islamic ideology, it creates an unnecessary condition where all Muslims are brought under suspicion. And as Jeremy Scahill said, that is sort of an epic formula for blowback. Is that not just painfully obvious? We have one more clip and then we'll go to the phones. I want to give you a little little piece from some other congressional testimony. M. Zudi Jasser, the a medical doctor and founder and president of the American Islamic Forum for Democracy. He's a what most folks would call a pretty liberal guy, and that doesn't mean much to me. I don't agree with all of his sentiments, but his point is particularly lucid, and he's absolutely right. Again, this is basically he is saying exactly what Jeremy Scahill said, but it's from a Muslim perspective. I'll just give it to you. We'll play it later. I'll give it to you. He said on June 28th in his congressional testimony. Again, this was aired on C-SPAN. We'll play this later, but he said the refusal to identify political Islam as the root cause in the conveyor belt that creates radical Islam. And he pointed out that defining terms is very important. What is the difference? What is the difference between Islam and Islamism or political Islam? As I've pointed out on this broadcast a number of times, if we're having water cooler and coffee pot conversations about this kind of stuff, then we need to be clear and specific, and not marginalizing, demonizing, and polarizing everyone in the discussion. The otherizing of people is a huge problem in America. We don't even realize how evil we are in our culture, in our marginalizing, otherizing, demonizing of one another. You see it by, from the pundits on the Fox News of the world. If you, you know, it's what happens, you know. If you don't believe what I believe, then you must be an idiot. You're stupid. That's the way they talk. Liberals are stupid. Conservatives are dumb. We're all Americans. We can all learn and know better and do better. So Jasser said the refusal to identify political Islam as the root cause in the conveyor belt that creates radical Islam is the greatest obstacle to reforming the ideas that churn out these militants. Not one iota of this work, he said, would be possible in an environment where government agencies writ large are unwilling to understand and engage Muslim groups domestically and abroad on the diverse interpretations of these core terms. He said, we should be able to have the maturity to engage what does Ummah mean, what does Salafism mean, what does Wahhabism mean, what does Islamism mean, Jihad, what does it mean? Not to engage those terms is not only dishonest, but it actually marginalizes the very Muslims you want to and you claim to respect, he said. And he's absolutely right. It's a great clip. It's on C-SPAN. You can find it and play it for yourself. We'll play it later. But for now, let's go to the phones and grab John in Tennessee. John, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Oh, thank you, Chris. You know, this is bringing back memories. So let me give you what an old Air Force sergeant, what my opinion is of it. Mid to late 70s, we were training Iranian pilots, selling the Iranians excess military aircraft while we were selling the Iraqis military weapons.
Exactly.
In the early 80s, they go to war with one another, and they're killing one another with weapons of war that we provided. Now, it's interesting to me that that was at the time that Carter was president. So Carter was involved in it. He knew very good and well. Then Reagan comes along, and lo and behold, who does he bring to his right hand other than George Bush Sr.? and all of this stuff in the Middle East went into high gear when Bush became president. We can see it if we just open our eyes. So here we are. Now we blame his son, which the blame lies there. We blame Obama. The blame is there. What we've got to realize is this has been the plan. This daddy world, New World Order daddy, Grandpa Bush, brought this about in high gear. And here we are. We're living it today because it's very profitable. You know, with my background in the military was weapons, bombs, rockets, and missiles. When I came out, I got into gasoline delivery, and I lived in the Detroit area, and I got to meet some interesting people in the early 80s, like Nobby Berry. These names ought to ring a bell to anyone that's of age. Nobby Berry, Ali Jawad, Yosef Hamadi, all terrorists, all from the Middle East, all supported and encouraged by our government to operate and own businesses in the United States with tax exemption, earn a lot of money, send the money back to the Middle East, and then lo and behold, terrorism kicks into high gear with funds that would not have been available if they hadn't been involved in this black gold industry that I'm working in. Trust me. I'm beginning to wonder if I'm working in the devil's den, kind of like an inside man, making my living, not really liking who I'm working for and who's involved in this. So to me, you know, that's my opinion on it. This is all, it's been planned, it's been worked. It's like Sun Tzu or someone said, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? And one bite at a time, we've been devouring this elephant called liberty, this elephant called the United States, the elephant in the room, and we're living to rue the day that we got involved, or at least the people are, out of their ignorance.
Again, it's, you know, Hosea 4, my people perish for lack of knowledge. If we would just do our homework, to me, the conclusions are inevitable. We come to a point, don't we, where we're confronted with the uncomfortable reality that the enemy that we allege to fight, we have been responsible for creating. And when I say we, obviously, you know, folks should take that with a grain of salt. I mean, we, the United States military-industrial complex, particularly the CIA, but we are all, I would say, culpable, not without some responsibility in our willful ignorance. And if we would all get knowledged up, this would change in a heartbeat. The fact that this same brand, this same ideology is infecting America by design, that it's allowed to be pumped in through the conduits, the same conduits that created Al-Qaeda through these Saudi billionaires that fund things like the Yale Grant for Islamic legal and historical studies, which will invariably result in the Salafist brand of studies and radicalize folks throughout America. I hear people talking about mosques. Is the FBI involved? Do they have informants planted in these mosques that are cropping up? Are they planting the imams in the mosques like they did at the mosque that the Orlando shooter was connected to? And again, you know, the Project Salaam study proves that better than 9 out of 10 of the plots the DOJ prosecutes and the FBI alleges to thwart are created by the FBI. So isn't the uncomfortable reality or the conclusion inevitably that the uncomfortable reality is that we are creating our own enemy? And if we know this, wouldn't it stop?
The uncomfortable reality, Chris, is that we become comfortable in the unreality. We have put far too much trust in the United States and this, for lack of a better word right now, garbage that we've been taught, this propaganda that we're the land of the free and the home of the brave and that we're founded on religious principles, which we may have been, but somewhere along the line, because we're well-fed, we have jobs to go to earn non-money, to have nice houses that we never pay off and never own, and we're living in this illusion that we're literally mesmerized. That's why when you wake up to this, you say, hey, I woke up when I came out of this stupor, because it really is a spiritual and mental awakening. It's like being in a coma and coming out and saying, what happened to the world that was here when I fell asleep?
Yeah.
Well, we all say, when I was a kid, we remember the good times when we were children before we became indoctrinated and hypnotized into believing a lie. When we had the innocence of childhood, and then throughout our lives something happens, some of us never wake up, Chris. Others wake up and we go, wow, I can't believe that I'm living in this land of Oz or this, you know, Alice in Wonderland world.
Yep.
And the thing of it is all of these people that have been presented as our enemies because they're from the Middle East or they're Muslims or they're, you know, they have a turban on their head or they don't wear, and I'm, trust me, it's hard for me to get the words out properly. But these people, for the most part, that I've talked to, they're as asleep in their comfort as American people are in our comfort, and they have no agreement. They have no desire to hurt you, just like you and I would not go hurt a Muslim just because they're a Muslim.
So exactly.
We're at the point now where our...
I have actually been on Balance of Nature for a year now. I have MS, and I recently had an MRI. This is the first year that I've had a stable MRI, so I'm thrilled. When I have an MRI with MS, usually there are glowing spots that come through, which is damage on the nerves in my brain and my spinal cord, and when they're glowing, it means they're active. And then my last MRI, they pulled it up, and I honestly couldn't believe that it was my MRI. There was nothing glowing. And in fact, the dark spots were shrinking. They were healing. And the doctor actually said to me, I think we're in remission. I was so happy. I had no idea that that could be my reality.
Call now to find out how to get your free month supply of Balance of Nature. Call 800-2468-751. That's 800-2468-751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com.
Use promo code TSL.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Only a fool would go to a plumber for brain surgery. But otherwise intelligent people use internet searches to find such gems as Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK with 3 shots from the rear and 1 shot from the front. They get similar financial guidance when they are investigating cryptocurrencies. RBN listeners know that American currency has not been lawful money for nearly 50 years. Since the thieves at the Fed stole the silver out of the coins and began reneging on redeemable notes in 1968. Now that the dollar has just about inflated totally away and banks want reverse interest to keep your books, the high-tech world has brought you an alternative. What if you could buy, sell, and trade with fellow business people from your home with zero bank fees? If you believe banking tyranny must end, then join the digital currency movement now. Call investigative journalist Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
We'll be right back.
today's broadcast. Going back to the phones here in a second, but first I would say, John, your remarks remind me of some passages. Folks, I would look up 2 Thessalonians 2:11-12. 1 Thessalonians 5:13, you know, while they are saying peace, peace, peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with a child, and they will not escape. Jeremiah 6:12-19 and 8:7-13, Ezekiel 13:10. If you're interested, I would look those up. Anyway, let's go back to the phones real quick and grab Lark in Texas. Lark, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Oh, hi, Chris. Good show.
Hey, Lark. Thank you.
Listen, I would like to make the case for discussion sometime about radical Christianity, radical Judaism, and radical Judeo-Christianity. I'd also like to have a discussion sometime where I cannot bear to listen to Jeremy Scahill and Amy Goodwin and Democracy Now, and why this puffed up General Keynes is part of the problem, not the solution by any means. He sounds to me like a typical brainwashed person in the U.S. military that trumpets the talking points of his superiors. And these people are not to be lauded. These people are to be examined under a glass, because from everything that I can see, we have a real problem in this country, and it's called Judeo-Christianity and radical Judaism along with radical Christianity. I don't think we have a Muslim problem at all.
Yeah, I would agree with you in large part, and playing those folks, the Scahills, the, you know, General Keane, the General Clarks, is not to loud them per se, but they are, you know, as far as the general public is concerned, to play C-SPAN testimony and things like that, and, you know, Jeremy Scahill boots on the ground for 13 years over there now, is just to say, here's what these folks are coming back with. And like I said, you know, about Wesley Clark, same goes for the others. As far as Ways and Means is concerned, I definitely disagree. Their points, though, the underlying points, I think are valid, that the marginalizing of the folks, you know, the way that Zudi Jasser put it in his congressional testimony, if, you know, not to engage the terminology, not to define terms, and not to clearly to make the clear distinction, is not only dishonest, but it actually marginalizes the very people that they want and claim to be respecting and supporting. And that's really sort of the point. That is a sentiment that's echoed throughout the, you know, expert witness panel, so to speak.
Well, let's also talk about constantly reacting to the Talmud Vision.
Yeah,
anybody that has more than 5 or 10 minutes FaceTime on the Talmud Vision, in my view, is not to be trusted.
Absolutely. I'd like to also mention your appearance on Vincent Vanelli's USA Prepares broadcast. You said that'll rebroadcast on Monday, right?
I think so, yeah. Got a couple articles now on the homepage, too, I guess.
Right on.
RBN.
Very cool. Check that out,
Thanks
folks.
Thanks for the show.
You bet. Thank you, Lark. That'll do it for today. Have a great weekend. As always, it's an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective, and you may be paying the wrong party and the lender
lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.